Gomer Joe with Fillmore Street. This is TheFieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English. Coming at you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 7th of January, 2016. On this date in 1789, the first U.S. presidential election was held by the Electoral College, of course. 1894, William Kennedy Dixon receives a patent for the motion picture film. 1922, the Dáil ratifies the Anglo-Irish Treaty by a 64-57 vote. 1927, the Harlem Globetrotters play their first game. And on that same day in 1927, the first transatlantic telephone service is established. It's between New York and London. 1953, President Truman announces that the U.S. has developed the hydrogen bomb. 1959, the United States recognizes the new Cuban government. 1979, Pol Pot is overthrown in Cambodia. 1999, the Clinton impeachment trial begins. 2015, 1 year ago today, two gunmen commit a mass shooting at the offices of Charlie Hebdo in Paris, killing 12 people and injuring 11 others. And 7th of January, today is Orthodox Christmas in Georgia and a holiday. Merry Christmas, everybody. Birthdays are Zora Neale Hurston, Katie Couric, Rand Paul, and Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Squieka. Thanks again for those posting to the forum. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to TheFieldPod.com or send us an email at TheFieldPod@gmail.com. Ministry of Energy confirmed on the 4th of January that they are having talks with Iran over possible gas supplies via Armenia, but there's no agreement yet. The talks were first reported by Iran. The Iranian news agency quoted the National Iranian Gas Export Company, which said they are negotiating on exporting between 8.5 and 14 million cubic meters of Iranian gas to Georgia per day. Reportedly, this volume is higher than Georgia's total consumption. Maximum capacity of the Iran-Armenia gas pipeline is 2.3 billion cubic meters per year. Armenia imports about 500 million cubic meters of Iranian gas annually through the pipeline. Armenia uses this gas to fuel its power stations and in exchange exports electricity to Iran. The Armenian sector of the pipeline through which they import Iranian gas is controlled by Gazprom. As a reminder, between September and December 2015, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze met three times with Gazprom Chief Executive Alexei Miller to discuss the terms on the transit of Russian gas to Armenia through Georgia. According to Russian news agencies, Miller also said at the time that he discussed with Kaladze a potential energy swap deal involving Iran and Armenian gas. Details were not elaborated. The head of Iran's state-owned gas export company was also quoted by Iranian news agencies on the 4th of January saying that in case of an agreement, Georgia would use imported Iranian gas for its gas-fired power station to produce electricity. Currently, the major thermal power plants in Georgia use Azerbaijani gas, which is cheaper. According to filings submitted last year to the Energy Regulatory Agency by G-Power, Tkvadi Energy, and GIEC, companies which operate gas-fired power plants in Georgia, they're buying gas from Azerbaijani state-owned SOCAR for $143 per 1,000 cubic meters. And in September 2015, a new 230-megawatt combined cycle thermal power plant launched in Gardabani. Power plant sells electricity to power distributor companies in Georgia. It's co-owned by the Partnership Fund and state-owned Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation. According to the Partnership Fund, the Gardabani Power Plant also buys gas from SOCAR for $143 per 1,000 cubic meters and is not considering purchasing the Iranian gas. Moreover, the chief of SOCAR's Georgia subsidy told Azerbaijani media that Iranian gas can hardly compete with Azerbaijani supplies on Georgia's very small market, that Azerbaijan has a long-term agreement with Georgia on supplies of gas to households up until 2025, and that SOCAR is also supplying gas to commercial entities in Georgia for a reasonable price. So, lots more on the gas story. New Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze confirmed that David Zalkalyani is being conscripted for the post of Deputy Foreign Minister. The position of First Deputy Foreign Minister is open after Janelidze was promoted to Foreign Minister when Kvitikashvili became Prime Minister. Zalkalyani was a member of the Free Democrats Party. He became First Deputy Foreign Minister in late October 2012, but then resigned in November 2014 when the Free Democrats quit the Georgian Dream Coalition. Zalkalyani also left the Free Democrats Party in October 2015, but on good terms with the party leadership. Free Democrats leader Irakli Alasania now has congratulated Zalkalyani on his returning Deputy Foreign Minister Post. There are also reports that Prime Minister Kvitikashvili will become the chairman of the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party. Kvitikashvili is not a member of the party, but the ruling party members said that they want the main government party to be ruled by the head of state. Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia will elect a new chairman of their Congress in the spring. They'll also launch their election campaign then. President Margvelashvili is holding a consultation with economic experts to select a candidate for the head of the Council of the National Bank. It's a seven-member council. Then they select who will be head of the bank. The current head of the bank council is Georgi Kadagidze. His seven-year term ends on the 20th of February. The president's administration said that Margvelashvili will choose a candidate by the end of January, the candidate that has to be presented to the parliament for confirmation, which requires at least 76 votes. After that, the council selects a candidate for the new head of the bank, and then it's up to the president to approve it. Council members are also elected for seven-year terms. They were approved at different times. Three of them will finish their terms at the end of the year. Georgian Dream, or Otsneba Coalition, and the National Movement nominated candidates for the elections on the 28th of January for Gamgebeli of Gardabani Municipality in Kvamo Kartli Region. An election was called for Gardabani after Gamgebeli Gela Nioradze died in late November 2015. Nioradze had run on the Georgian Dream ticket in 2014 local elections and won with 56% of the vote. So for this upcoming January election, Georgian Dream named Gocha Jamrauli as candidate. He's a native of Gardabani and a former footballer who played for the national team from 1994 to 2004. UNM named Besik Kakhabrishvili as its candidate. He ran for the same post in 2014 local elections but lost. He got 28% of the vote. 31st of December, there were New Year's Eve celebrations in Georgia. It was the city's first snowfall of the winter, and there were crazy home fireworks covering the whole city. Georgia's leaders gave New Year's addresses. President Margvelashvili was live from New Year concert stage at Freedom Square. Both President Margvelashvili and the new Prime Minister, Kvitikashvili, spoke about freedom and Georgia being a state of free citizens. They both addressed the people of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, Kvitikashvili saying, "They are Georgians. They are Georgians' brothers and sisters." Margvelashvili saying that they all have a common future. They both also addressed the military personnel serving in Afghanistan. Kvitikashvili spoke about the country's youth and how Georgia will have new opportunities. Patriarch Ilya II's New Year's address appealed to people to do kind things. There was heavy snowfall all over the country, particularly in western Georgia. The past week, it was pretty cold for Georgia. Roads were closed, such as Zestaponi-Senaki section of the E60 highway, part of the Akhaltsikhe-Ninotsminda road going to the border with Armenia, parts of the Akhalkalaki-Kartsakhi road leading to the border of Turkey, as well as part of the Georgian military highway going towards Kazbegi and the Larsi border crossing. For 2 days, flights in and out of Kutaisi Airport were delayed with two Wizz Air flights that couldn't fly and had to be rerouted to fly out from Tbilisi instead of Kutaisi because of low visibility. There was heavy snow in Batumi, and the Batumi port was closed for 4 days. They couldn't unload ships. Hundreds of people were calling emergency services for help because cars were stuck in the snow. In Imereti, 8,000 families were without electricity after snow damaged some infrastructure. Snow also damaged homes in Gudia. In Tbilisi and Rustavi, a lot of people were without water because their pipes were on the outside of houses and froze. A group of three hunters got lost in the heavy snowfall in Lagodeci area. There was a major helicopter rescue operation to find them. German Chancellor Angela Merkel sent a letter of congratulations to Prime Minister Kvitikashvili on becoming Prime Minister. She ended, "I'll be happy if I see you in Berlin soon." That might be a future foreign visit. As mentioned, the 7th of January is Orthodox Christmas. In Tbilisi, there was the traditional Alilo March, which started at Rose Revolution Square, goes down Rustaveli, and then crosses the river to Samepa Cathedral in Avlabadi. Patriarch Ilya II gave his annual Christmas epistle. He spoke about the erosion of true love because people are selfish, how this breaks up families, etc. On the 5th of January, a Russian border guard from South Ossetia abducted a Georgian man who was walking to church in the Bershueti village in Gori region, according to the man's friends who was with him, but escaped. Eight armed men appeared at the church door and took the guy away to Skhinvali Detention Center. Following up on the Lari exchange rate, the National Bank set a new rate as of the 7th of January today. $1 is 2.4155 lari. A young ethnic Azerbaijani man was killed in the Tbilisi suburb/village of Ponichala. He had spoken on Imedi TV saying that Wahhabi influence has increased in Ponichala over the past few years. After that, he met with and argued with a former friend who was part of a radical Wahhabi group, and the former friend stabbed and killed him. According to the Mufti of the Caucasian Muslims office in Georgia, Wahhabis were trying to build a mosque in that village. Local ethnic Azeri residents protested against it. Last week, we reported that the state-owned shareholding company, the Partnership Fund, and Austrian company Humanity Holding are building a new pharmaceutical factory in Tbilisi. Tbilpod.com's former designated Hellraiser Matthias Hooter reports that Humanity Holding is actually an Austrian shell company set up last year by KPMG Austria on behalf of an unknown client. Humanity Holding is owned by another Austrian company, Project H Holding GmbH, which is owned by LF Business DMCC, registered in Dubai. The director of the Dubai company has a Ukrainian name, Karbachevsky, which seems to tie in with Ukrainian oligarchs using Austrian companies to manage, hide, and protect their assets. Karbachevsky is also connected with a Ukrainian business, Mili Healthcare, that imports and sells pharmaceuticals into Ukraine. So it's not really too transparent who runs this Austrian company, Humanity Holdings. Would be really, really nice if the partnership fund were to require transparency related to the ultimate beneficial ownership of whoever they do business with, but they don't do that, unfortunately. Georgian Wine Club raised about 20,000 lari to support American Georgian winemaker John Werdemann, whose house and wine cellar in Sheikh Nahi were tragically destroyed by a fire in late 2015. He created the Pheasant's Tears Winery, which is sold throughout the world to great acclaim. Georgian Wine Club raised money in an auction at Vino Underground in Tbilisi, selling rare Georgian wines from private collections. Rugby player Vasil Lobzhanidze, who is a half scrum, was picked by British newspaper The Telegraph for its team of young international rugby players that they believe will take 2016 by storm. At 18, Lobzhanidze was the youngest ever player in the Rugby World Cup in September 2015 when Georgia played Tonga. 28-year-old snowboarder Nugzar Diakonashvili was killed by a small avalanche in Bakuriani. He was boarding in a far-off trail. He became champion of Georgia in border cross in 2015. He also was head of the Bakuriani group of Georgia Snowboard Federation, who was preparing to compete in the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that the government plans to invest 13 million lari in 2016 in the Abastumani Resort in southern Georgia to develop it as a tourism spot, and that they also plan to have stricter restrictions on timber logging there. The film Ali and Nino by British director Asif Kapadia will screen at the Sundance Film Festival, which will be the 21st to the 31st of January. Hard Rock Cafe is planning to open in Tbilisi in May 2016 on Petriashvili Street in Vera at the restored Wine Cellar House. Also, McDonald's will reportedly be expanding. There will be one in Guldani and one in Rustavi. Netflix is now available around the world, including in Georgia. Everybody seems to be very happy about that. Tbilisi Mayor's Office opened a permanent homeless shelter in the Lilo area on the outskirts of Tbilisi. It has the capacity to accommodate 240 people daily. It also offers free medical aid. National Tourism Administration said they've created a two-year action plan on how to attract Chinese tourists to Georgia. Experts from the EU will come to Georgia later in January to help reform Georgia's healthcare waste management system to meet EU standards. It's part of the European Commission's Technical Assistance Program. Following up on previous stories, Tbilisi Waste Collectors working for Tbil Service went back on strike on the 4th of January, demanding full payment of their holiday bonuses. Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania is involved and said that the strikers are interfering with keeping the city clean. They will be fired and replaced. The city is not paying attention to their demands. Wine exports went down 39% in 2015 compared to the previous year. According to information from the National Wine Agency, wine exports to Russia went down by 51%. And to Ukraine, down by 56%. There is a new French historical novel called Queen Tamar, written by Mark Andronikov, who's a descendant of the Andronikashvili noble family. Narrator of the novel is one of the children of the 12th century Byzantine Emperor Andronikos Komnenos, from whom the Andronikashvili family claims descent. The emperor was murdered and his children received refuge in Tamars, Georgia. In December, the Telegraph listed some of the greatest ballerinas of all times and note Nina Ananiashvili for her alluring grace, enticing mystique, personal magic, instinctive expressiveness, and technical wizardry to draw the public with her into unvoiceable passions and dreams. The Tbilisi Art Palace has acquired a Roman-era piece of jewelry that was found in Kakheti. It's a small ornament shaped like a gladius, the type of sword used by gladiators, and was presumably used as an amulet. It dates to the 1st or 2nd century. The Tbilisi Art Palace said they got theirs from a private owner. Parliamentary news. The Georgian Dream lawmakers initiated a bill that envisages further regulating early and preschool education, covering how many children should be in a group, how many teachers there should be per student, the role of the government in early childhood education, also covering inclusive education and taking into account children's mental, physical, religious, social, emotional, and linguistic backgrounds. There's also a proposal to have parents sit on special councils governing the preschool educational institutions. Meme this week is photos of Batumi looking very lovely, covered in snow, with lots of people are sharing on Facebook. There's a video from Facebook of the New Year's Eve fireworks in Tbilisi, which you should definitely see. Stuff to read. Erica Marat, who knows what she's talking about, writes for Foreign Policy Democracy Lab, explains the problems with Ukraine's police reform. She notes that Ukraine is getting lots of praise for it, but it's only applied to patrol police monitoring petty crimes and doesn't encompass the entire interior ministry. She draws parallels to Georgia. Former Georgian officials were imported to Ukraine to carry out the reforms because Georgia was praised for its police reforms a decade earlier. But at the same time, the interior ministry in Georgia became a very powerful institution and not in the service of the people, but used by those in power. Three former ambassadors to Georgia from the U.S. and U.K. advocate in U.S. news that Georgia, with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili, is poised to reinvigorate its democracy. It just needs the support from the U.S. and the West. Heath Druzin for Stars and Stripes magazine reports on Georgia's troop contribution to the NATO mission in Afghanistan, notes that small countries are playing an important role in the mission. Rooms Hotel in Tbilisi, featured in New York Times as a hotel for VIPs, while its restaurant, The Kitchen, is known for being a hot social scene. It uproariously points out how when you walk into the restaurant, everybody looks up to see who you are and if you matter. Guardian's 2016 guide for where to go on holiday includes Georgia for the off-the-beaten-track adventure and Tbilisi's hip wine bar revolution. Open Democracy writes on the unlikely home some Syrian refugees have found in Abkhazia. They're descended from the Circassians who were expelled by the Tsar in the 19th century. Talk about life in Abkhazia, where they are repatriates but outsiders because they're Muslim. New commercial video on YouTube, which is an aerial ode to Tbilisi, which is quite beautiful. Likely last installment in Georgia from Paul Salopek's Out of Eden Walk for National Geographic. A goodbye to Georgia. He recounts the mountains and the cafes and the museum and the philosophers and the shepherds and the drunkenness. Georgia is like this, he writes. You fall down a snowy mountain into a country you never expected to be in. More photos of Batumi in the snow, which are lovely. All this stuff to read is posted to the forum. Geocapital number is no longer the geocapital number, but is the dive bar number. It is 80%. That is how big the increase in number of visitors from Saudi Arabia came to Georgia in 2015 compared to the previous year, according to the National Tourism Administration. Visitors from the United Arab Emirates also went up by 75%. If you're in London on the 20th of January, UNESCO Artist for Peace pianist Eliso Bolkvadze is giving a concert at Cadogan Hall. You can get tickets on the Cadogan Hall site. Also in London on the 20th of January, the Iran Society and the British Georgian Society are hosting a lecture by Professor Edmund Herzig of Oxford on religious conversion and self-fashioning among Armenians and Georgians in Safavid Iran. It will be at the Army Navy Club Pall Mall. You should contact the Iran Society to attend and can find more at their site at iransociety.org. Check out the crowdfunding campaign Save a Bookstore on generosity.com, started by our friend Ani Chikwaidze. They are raising money to rebuild the Books in Batumi bookstore, which was heavily damaged by the snowfall last week. We'll link to that in the forum. On the 9th of January, there'll be a charity concert at Tbilisi Concert Hall hosted by mezzo-soprano Nino Surguladze with conductor Carlo Ponti, who is, by the way, the son of Sophia Loren. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK, Tango, X-ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1983, guy from Monahans, Texas. This is Guy Clark and Homegrown Tomatoes.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs. You can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side. Put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Change this life I lead. Well, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden, be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.